This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hour number five of the G-Bag Nation, the Power Hour. Wolchuk, Chiafalo, Broadus. We got a Lucius with you. Carter Freeman running your video. Gavin Dawson, he's coaching. He's trying to coach his soccer team to a dub. Let's hope that it ends up happening for him. We got Mike Golick Jr., Gojo, our buddy, who's going to join us in just a minute. We'll talk some football with him. College football, great with that. He's actually, I just saw a video talked about Texas A&M. Have they got a resume now that is good enough for the college football playoff committee?
Sure, I think it is.
Anybody who wins the SEC, obviously, you're an automatic.
Yeah.
If they were to lose, say, to Texas at the end of the year, maybe if they drop that an would be unexpected
their only,
one.
That would be their only conference loss if they lose to Texas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess
they don't lose
South Carolina.
Yeah.
I don't think they lose.
A night game versus the Gamecocks, dude?
I don't think so either.
Is that thing in, is it in Columbia?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe it's in Columbia.
See, South Carolina's played teams tough. They should have beat Alabama.
They should.
Had Alabama on the ropes, but that was
6:30 kick.
Yeah, that's going to be a late kick. You know what? I would hate to be Texas A&M and have a letdown like that.
It's maybe, a perfect letdown opportunity for the Aggies.
Maybe A&M teams in the past have had, but I think Mike's with us.
All right, Gojo, how you doing, brother? We were just talking about A&M, and I know on DraftKings you guys were discussing the resume. What do you think about where the Aggies are right now, and is there any way they're not able to make the college football playoff at this point?
I mean, listen, I think part of the thing we have to admit going into the 12-team field is there's a lot we don't know about what the committee is going to value. Texas A&M's got the opportunity because they're in pole position in the SEC to make it real easy and just make and win the conference championship and call it a day, and it's fine. But, you know, South Carolina coming up is not going to be a slouch. That's a team that certainly has landmine capability with a quarterback like Lenora Sellers and what he can do, the defense there. They've got the matchup against Texas at the end of the year that, listen, that's a very good Texas team that could give them a second loss. And so any of those things could still be complicating factors. But I think, especially if Marcel Reed's at the helm and the different element that he affords that offense, I think they've got a really good shot.
Yeah, I'm sure as a Notre Dame guy such as yourself, you're probably loving this Aggie run that's taking place right now. But looking on the other side of things with the Longhorns, what do you think is – I mean, they kind of eke by there versus Vandy. There's Ewers criticisms. I don't think their offensive line is performing all that well. That was supposed to be their backbone.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing. Like, don't get me wrong, Quinn in the couple of games back from injury hasn't looked quite like himself just yet. I thought he was playing some of the best quarterback in the country before he went down with that injury. And so it's taken him a little while to get back comfortable in there. But I'm with you. The offensive line really struggled going back to that game against that Georgia defense. Although I think the wide receiver core, and quite honestly, the play calling even struggled. Kirby Smart and that defense were a step ahead of them at every turn. And so the Vanderbilt thing is interesting. Like, I think we do have to recalibrate a little bit of what it means to play a close game against Vanderbilt, because that's a good team right now. I mean, there's no other way to slice it. They've played good ball in the SEC. They've got the win over Bama to prove it. And so I do think that means something a little different. But the offensive line and that group led by Kelvin Banks was supposed to, I thought, be more of the hammer this year. They've still been a good unit, but I expected them to border on a great unit, and that might be where some of the discrepancy is and why some of these games are a little closer than we bargained for.
Hey, Mike, in our own backyard here in Dallas, this the SMU-Pitt matchup, I'm kind of interested because I didn't think anybody had on their dance card that, yeah, let's have an undefeated Pitt team and an undefeated SMU team in the conference show up this late in the season.
Yeah, and you know what? It's unfortunate because it seems like injury could play a little bit of part in watering down some of the fun of this game. You know, Maryland, the great tight end for SMU, already lost for the season, unfortunately won't be in this game. And now there's questions about Eli Holstein, the quarterback for Pitt, and his potential availability as, you know, they're sort of keeping that one close to the vest. And so I hope that he's healthy so they can go in this one, because you're right, they've been two really great surprises. Pat Narduzzi, anytime real offense shows up on the south side, has to be a little bit uncomfortable, but we saw just how much when you pair an offense, and we saw this with Kenny Pickett years ago, with the defense that we know Pat Narduzzi's outfits play, it's always a really dangerous group. They thumped a Syracuse team led by a quarterback in Kyle McCord, who's pretty darn good. So I'm looking forward to that one. And listen, the ACC is kind of like a lot of these other Power Four conferences, where the committee is going to run into an interesting problem if these teams all keep staying undefeated, because a lot of the top end team, you know, SMU and Pitt are going to play, but they don't play Clemson, they don't play Miami, who are also at the top of the conference and don't play each other. And so there's some weird tiebreaker scenarios in a world without division that are getting ready to play out here as we head up to conference championship weekend.
Mike Golic, Jr. Gojo with us here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. The big one, Ohio State, Penn State. Is it a bummer that this one is a noon kick Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, and this is not the Penn State whiteout?
Yeah, I would say, listen, whiteout, I finally got to experience one of those a couple of years ago, and it was for Penn State, Minnesota. Minnesota was starting a backup quarterback in Ethan Kaliak-Manis at the time, and you knew it probably wasn't going to go well for them, but still the atmosphere is second to none in college football. So would have loved to have seen that been the treatment for a game of this caliber. I would just settle for, you know, healthy quarterback play. We know Drew Aller went out in the second half of their last game, and I want to see them out there at full strength so we don't have any excuses, because this is the game really for both teams. Ohio State had the test against Oregon, and that game was as advertised, a close game that one team eventually had to lose. Oregon's at home. You saw the home crowd affect some of the snap count stuff for Ohio State, so it all made sense. But for Penn State, this is the judgment game. We've looked at everything in their season as a preamble to this, because we even saw last year, hey, before you brought Andy Kotelnicki over and started to tinker with some things offensively and create some more explosives, they could pass and do things against the non-Michigan and Ohio State teams last year. And then they got in those games, they turtled on offense, and it all went to hell. And so I don't want there to be any excuses going into this weekend, because for James Franklin and this program that have been really good by everyone else's standards, but falling just below the top end of the Big Ten right now, this is a huge game and a great opportunity for them to try and break through.
Okay, we do want to transition to some NFL for you, but yesterday one of our co-hosts for the first time found out about this Mike Mangino intern towel poop story. Are you familiar with this?
I am not, no.
All right. Well,
good, because I was like,
Mike on.
Yeah. All right, this is good, because yesterday I was like, wow, this is a blind spot situation. Sorry, I was talking with my mic off there momentarily.
We all have these moments, go
pretty
Joe.
Fired up.
We're trying to be professional.
Hey, Broadus is rubbing off on me.
Trust me.
But yeah, the Mark Mangino allegation that apparently there was equipment staff members who were tasked every single day with being the ones to discard and I guess clean his booty towels because he had to use towels to actually wipe himself. I guess he had to floss, sort of, if you know what I'm saying.
Rather large,
couldn't reach around.
Yeah, no. Listen, we've all spent a night in a hotel with some towels we don't respect. I get it.
Yes.
Listen, it's a deep clean that very few other things can replicate. Now, I don't know about the notion, and listen, I even feel bad. It's not something I do now as an adult, but in my younger days when I had a little bit less awareness of other people. Yeah. The thought of someone having to handle that on the staff is pretty wild. And one of those things that I'm sure makes you question if you're, you know, a staffer on there who's got aspiration of being in big-time football and being around the game, it's going to make you question how much you love it. That is pretty foul.
I like the use of aspiration there.
I don't question the love for the game.
Do you stay in the equipment business? I mean, maybe you were like a young, you know, equipment, you know, staffer, and now you're a head equipment guy somewhere. Do you kind of like?
No, that's when you throw in the towel.
When your guys start complaining, do you say, "Hey, listen, you don't know what I had to do. You guys don't have any clue what I had to do when I was your age," kind of a thing.
That is true. There's something to be said for having something to go to when the old conversations start, because we all hear it. You know, every generation's got their version of it. I had to hear for years from my dad about how, oh, your guys' training camp's not really tough. Back when we were in training camp, X, Y, and Z happened, and we all pulled switchblades on each other in three-a-days where we had to practice with two sets of pads on. Yeah. So having the poop towel in your back pocket for this, pun fully intended, probably a pretty good place to be when you're ready to go and throw it in someone's face.
Hey, Gojo, I was going to ask real quick. I know Zach talked about taking you in the NFL, but real quick, how much research have you had to do in your shows on Army football?
Man, I tell you what, a lot more than I expected going into the start of this season. Yeah. I mean, and people have to understand the structural disadvantages in the sport. It's not just that hey, you know, the portal is not really an option for the service academies.
Right.
NIL is not an option for the service academies. But a couple of years ago when they changed the cut block rules in college football, where now you can only cut block on the line of scrimmage,
right,
you've got to be straight up ahead, like, it changed the game for how the triple could operate overall. And some of these academies, I mean, thought about doing away with it altogether, have incorporated more spread principles into it. So it was a big challenge put in front of them. There's no reason for them to succeed, and yet they do. So it's incredible.
What were your thoughts and takeaways from that Cowboys-Niners game Sunday night?
Man, it's one of those where the Cowboys are a really tough team and a really unfun team to analyze right now, because yeah, the flaws are so apparent in the areas of football that are most required. And I think especially have been reinforced lately. Like, run and stop the run used to be a cliche that even I push back on as a former offensive lineman, because the NFL had become a pace-based league and blah, 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 all that stuff happened. And then a couple of years ago, people decided, now we're going to go and run it up the middle again because everyone got lighter and smaller. And we've seen some teams make the adjustment, and Dallas just wasn't one of them. And so now if you're a team that has any ability to run the ball, and Lord knows the 49ers did right up the middle, no matter who's at running back with them, the Cowboys really have no ability to stop them right now. And, yeah, having Micah Parsons and getting other guys back on defense would certainly help, but those are still areas that were not a problem before. It was the interior and stuff that hasn't been addressed. It's been the shuffling and the health on the offensive line and the inability to run the ball with no one in the backfield, you know, that already hasn't been there or isn't too long in the tooth. And so their problems are so fundamental that it makes it really difficult in any game to go out there and see a pathway to success for them.
How would you grade the Trayvon Diggs, D's Nuts usage to a local reporter after the game?
Yeah, no, you know what? Anytime you can slip that in. And listen, Trayvon, you know, probably in a private moment wants that whole interaction back. But that being said, D's Nuts jokes are never not going to be funny to me. And so I'm unfortunately always going to be a bit of a toddler in that regard, even if I think ultimately, like, hey, man, like, this is – but, like, this is one of those things I saw people commenting. This is my generation of athletes and younger all grew up online. So, of course, the first thing he's going to do after a game is be on his phone, checking what's going on Twitter, and then responding accordingly. Like, that's how we're all wired from the generation that got online and got social media.
What is your thoughts on this Anthony Richardson deal, man? I mean, have you ever seen somebody as at the quarterback position tap out to come out of the game?
No, and you know what? And I heard Marshall Newhouse, who, you know, played over a decade in the NFL on the offensive line, talk about this. It is interesting in a day and age where, hey, we've got more quarterbacks that are shouldering more of a true run game load than ever before, operating like a running back would. Like, we don't bat an eye when running backs and receivers and DBs and D linemen all tap out and sub out all game long. I used to rant about this all the time. Offensive linemen don't get a break, and yet all these guys pass rushing against us seem to need a breather to go on the sideline and suck wind and drink water all the time. It's a disgrace, but Anthony Richardson going and doing it is sort of like a violation of the norms around the position. And I think his comments after the game are probably at the heart of it as much as anything, of him being so cavalier in the way that he described it. And my first thought was, there had to be some real hurt feelings in that locker room based on how that went for them to make this move, because that's the only way I can justify it. If this is them making the move out of panic because some of the stat lines in the football field don't look as great, I think that's short-sighted for what you always knew was going to be part of the Anthony Richardson experience. And so I think Shane Steichen, if this is a move about the locker room, hey, listen, you're not just there to develop the quarterback. You got 52 other guys looking at you, wondering if you're going to hold everybody accountable the way every coach preaches. And so I'm not surprised with this. I would hope and expect to see Anthony Richardson back on the field soon with a little bit of a new appreciation for the opportunity, but nonetheless, the opportunity to go out there and continue to get the reps he desperately needs.
It's Mike Golic Jr. with us here on The Fan. I always love your food reviews. Have you tried anything worth trying lately?
Oh, sweet Jesus, guys, I'm glad you asked. Let me go get him out of the pantry so I get the name right on this, because I want to make sure I give you guys accurate information. I don't know if you guys are big Trader Joe's fans or not.
Oh, love it. Yes, yes.
One of my friends handed me one of the most important boxes I think I'll ever receive in my life. It's the Trader Joe's Pumpkin Spice JoJo's. They're pumpkin sandwich cookies covered in a yogurt-flavored coating with sea salt. It is like pumpkin pie became a cookie and then got doused in ice cream and then entered my mouth. It is so rich and decadent. You've got to like the pumpkin flavor to be into it, but I'm a huge pumpkin spice guy. These things are soft, rich. They've got a little crunch to them and are absolutely wonderful. I'm already halfway through the box, and I show no signs of slowing down. So if you got the opportunity and you're feeling the spirit of the holidays, I would suggest going and checking it out.
Man, I think that the Food Network's missing an opportunity here. We need to get you and your dad a show similar to Triple D. Go on out, or maybe you just go to some, you know, like Trader Joe's or grocery stores. You're just trying new items. The way you described that cookie was outstanding.
10 out of 10. Yeah, it's a must try. And they look delicious.
It's tough, too, to try and talk with as much saliva as was building up, because I was holding them in my hand, looking at them, remembering how good it felt just minutes ago when I was eating them. And now I'm sitting here talking, and all my body wants to do again, because remember, I'm the son of a type 2 diabetic who's the son of a type 2 diabetic. I quite literally crave this for the cellular level. So the saliva in my mouth made that difficult, but I pushed through for you guys.
You're an absolute legend of the highest order. We appreciate the time, as always, and we look forward to catching up with you again, man. Oh, and happy Halloween week. I know it's a big one for you guys in the Golic family.
Absolutely. I got my Pop-Tart costume all ready to go in honor of the Pop-Tart Bowl. So we'll be representing loud and proud on this high holiday. Appreciate it, fellas.
Outstanding. Man, we'll see you next time. All right, there he goes. Mike Golic Jr., ladies and gentlemen, here. And always a wealth of football knowledge. How good do those things look, Walt?
They look fantastic. Yeah. I mean, those little pumpkin
Trader
spice.
Joe's has got, they've got all
is
kinds
of. Is that your
spot? Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
My mom, my 81-year-old mom, that is her favorite place to shop, and she's turned me on to that. And they've got all kinds of stuff. They got samples you can kind of go through there.
See, I love that. Every grocery store needs to have the sample spots.
They have orange chicken that is incredible. They have, I mean, all kinds of stuff. You can walk through the aisles and you're just like going, yeah, I need that. An impulse buy.
Yeah.
And it's all reasonably priced too. It's not, when you get done, you feel like, well, I
didn't get totally.
Yeah. When you get it back to the, back home, the quality of it is—he's absolutely right. It's a lot of great care goes into their product.
Well, these JoJo's pumpkin sandwich cookies—they're passing the eye test. They look good. All right, speaking of looking good, it's a TD Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. The best touchdowns from the college football and NFL weekend, plus breaking news: NFL trade just went down. We'll tell you about it next, right here on the Fan. Well, folks, it is a TD Tuesday here in the G-Bag Nation, but we do have some NFL news. The Vikings are trading for left tackle Cam Robinson of the Jacksonville Jaguars in exchange for draft pick compensation. So we don't know what that compensation is yet. What would y'all guess? This a rental, because Cam Robinson is playing on the franchise tag, and the Vikings are doing this because they just lost their left tackle Christian Darrisaw for the season.
Let me text Doug and see if he'll tell me.
Yeah, I'd assume it's a day 3 pick. I wouldn't think anything higher than a 4. Because of the rental aspect of it.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering, like, could they get a 3 out of it, perhaps? It's tough. It's tough, but you're the Vikings right there. You feel like, hey, we are in, I mean, we weren't expecting this, but we're in win-now mode all of a sudden. And if you don't have a left tackle, you don't have a chance.
Yeah.
Now, you could also say you have Sam Darnold, so you don't have a chance. But O'Connell can't think that way right
now. We didn't think they'd be this good with Sam Darnold. So
no,
maybe they do.
No, we didn't.
What the hell do any of us know?
0-2 in their last 2. Well, Chuck, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, thank God for that last one. Go Rams.
Crosstalk with Fan After Dark coming up here in a few minutes. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this.
That's the wrong button.
Yeah.
Sean loves TD Tuesday.
That's the wrong button.
For the TD!
Ah.
Boom shakalak. Boom shakalak. Boom shakalak. TD Tuesday shakalak.
We start on Sunday what was supposed to be one of the big games of the weekend. The Eagles mashed the Bengals, but not before Joe Burrow found Ja'Marr Chase for the first score of the day.
Burrow catches, drops back to throw, begins rolling to the right. He's at the 12-yard line, throws into the end zone, a leaping catch, and a touchdown by Ja'Marr Chase.
Nice.
And the Bengals take more than 9 minutes off the clock and score a touchdown to begin the game.
Man, one of our faves, the Bengals Radio Network.
Yes, yeah.
Wish the game just had to stop there, right? Just go ahead and they won. 7-0. They beat the Eagles.
What a win.
Didn't happen, sadly. All right, let's go to Cleveland. Cleveland hadn't had a lot of TDs this year, have they? They sure haven't. Well, how about Jameis Winston gets in the
now
game?
Quarterback
next thing you know, oh, yeah, we got touchdowns to Cedric Tillman.
104 to go, second and 15. Chubb stays in the backfield. Jameis to throw. Jameis says, I'm. Jameis going deep. Has Tillman. End zone.
Touchdown, Browns! They are, I mean, that's maybe one of the biggest wins of many Browns fans' entire life.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest upsets of the season. Not the biggest.
That's crazy, man.
Beating a Ravens team that just looked unstoppable, really. Andrew Siciliano with the call there, his first year with the Browns.
300-plus yards, 3 touchdowns, game winner. Jameis Winston on fire right now. Speaking of fire, we head to Detroit, where Mason Rudolph and company were trying to steal the flow and the streak that is the Detroit Lions, but Jahmyr Gibbs had 70 yards worth of other plans.
Off out of the gun, hands it to Jahmyr Gibbs. Gibbs, there he goes.
Cross 30, go. 35 to the 40.
There you
turns
go.
Turns the corner at the 50. It's a foot race down the left sideline. Gibbs, 20, go. 15, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, baby, 70 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs found the opening, and they couldn't find him.
It's amazing.
The end zone was just saying, come here, Jahmyr. And he was like, fine, 70 yards. Boom. And this the Lions stats are just crazy. One of my favorite ones from the weekend was the Lions having 9 net passing yards in the first half.
Yeah.
They still had 5 offensive touchdowns in that half.
It's incredible. It really is what they're
all
doing.
All 3 phases, Walchuk.
I don't think there's any radio booth that's having more fun than the Lions or the Commanders. Those are probably the 2.
Well, Dan Miller. I mean, remember you and I were standing there, like, yeah. Their booth was right next door, and they like, as the broadcast is going on, they are literally, him and Lomas Brown are, like, jumping up and down, and they're like, high-fiving each other.
They're excited. It's unbelievable.
They do. They get very excited during their game.
They deserve it, though. Their team's awesome. Yeah. Let's go to New England, where they've got a little bit more excitement going down, thanks to Drake May running for some TDs.
First and 10 from the Jets 17. Henry motions to the right wing. The shotgun snap is low. May has it. He's in the pocket. He's pressured. He's going to run to the right. May to the outside 15. May to the 10. May to the 5. May to the end zone. In for a Patriots touchdown.
That was quite the scamper. Old Drake May. He was the best success rate when it comes to scrambling in college football the last couple of years. That dude knows how to get first downs. That was 20.33 miles per hour, speed. Boys and girls. That is some serious speed right there from the big man. But of course, he also took a headshot.
He did.
And missed the majority of the game. And Jacoby Brissett came in there and got it done. But I like Drake May, man. We'll see what he can do. It looks like the Patriots are open to being buyers. I'm seeing Diana Russini right now saying the Patriots open to putting some talent around there.
You beat the Jets, and now you're feeling like $1 million.
All right, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's where we go. Buccaneer Radio. It's Baker Mayfield to Mr. Cade Otton on National Tight Ends Day.
Shotgun look, Baker Mayfield. Here's the snap. Rashad White has a pass toward the end zone. It's caught! Caught! Touchdown, Cade Otton! Buccaneers get a touchdown pass from Mayfield. Fire the cannons!
Fire them cannons.
That was extremely quick. I don't know what Gene said there, to be honest, except fire them cannons. But it was a touchdown, the way that he just mumbled through that. But shout out, Gene. You did a great job. It was Baker to Cade Otton for anybody who was asking.
Did a great job there.
Gene. Let's keep the tight ends going.
Talk to him at the end of the year.
We don't know anything you said there, Gene, but we know you did a great job there, buddy.
Fantastic, dude. I love the excitement in your voice. I love tight ends, and how about another tight end, TD?
Willis waits for the snap. 2 yards behind him is Jacobs. On second down and goal to go with the 3. Give to Jake. Fake to Jacobs. Quick toss. Right side. Kraft. Touchdown, Green Bay. He dances into the end zone and spikes the football to the right corner.
Dude, this guy is a yak monster at the tight end position.
Tucker Kraft was a hell of a player. Kincaid and Kraft were the 2 guys that I definitely was interested in.
Really? Because a lot of people I know were interested in Scooney.
He wasn't really one of the guys that...
No, but our team was. Yeah. Tucker Kraft was there, and they were like, let's get the older, more injured guy who we know can't block.
I like Sam LaPorta.
They did like Sam. There was some Sam LaPorta first round.
Well, they like their guys.
Yeah.
You know who else likes their guys? CJ Stroud. Welcome TD for Mr. TD himself, Tank Dell.
Stroud in the gun. First and goal at the 7. One back, Mixon. Bunch formation right. CJ to throw. Looking. CJ steps up, fires lights out of the end zone.
Yes!
Caught! Touchdown! Houston! Tank Dell! The Texans take the lead!
Man, and at least for a couple more weeks, that's going to have to be the connection that gets it done. Stroud to Dell. They will get Nico Collins back here very, very soon. Texans Radio Network.
He did the old Lambo leap there in Houston to Tank Dell. Yeah, and then it was like CJ Stroud had to help him down.
Yeah, think of the hops.
It was great teamwork.
Yeah, to get up there was great.
Yeah. It's a hop.
Yeah, that's like, a quarterback and wide receiver that are on the same page, man.
Yeah, can't have a broken foot or anything on the way down.
Mm-mm.
Already down too many receivers.
Yeah. Get caught in the net every once in a while, that the field goal net.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Entangled. Earmuffs here, Brian. We go to the Aggies Radio Network where Marcel Reed was doing things like TDs.
Oh, wow.
He was tough. From the right hash. It's a keeper by Marcel. The RPO becomes a TD for A&M. 4 yards out. Marcel takes it in.
Did he ever? They didn't know what to do, man. They didn't realize.
LSU had no answer for when that. Seriously, Reed was – there was a couple things that happened in that football game. When Nussmeier threw the interception in their own end and then bringing in Reed. Because LSU was going to win that game if they stayed with that starter. If they, you know, there was no way that Texas A&M was going to win that football game with the pressure that LSU applied. But hey, give that coach a lot of credit for going to Reed. They needed to do it to win the game, and he pulled it off.
Elko, man, and then he was kind of maybe
Wegman was just
Wegman didn't stand a chance.
Wegman was a sitting duck back there.
He was.
He just couldn't move, and then
Marcel Reed was a moving duck.
And again, if Elko plays anybody maybe other than Reed, that's coaching malpractice right there.
And then LSU got ducked. I mean, time and time again.
They sure
did. They didn't know what to do. It's like quarterbacks can run.
No, they
didn't realize that.
That was possible. Quarterbacks can run.
We thought those rules weren't allowed since Jaden Daniels isn't here anymore. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks can't do that. Quinn Ewers can't do that either, but good news is he's got DeAndre Moore to get it done.
With the snap, turns, swings it left side, ball caught, open, Moore down the sidelines, say goodnight to it. Touchdown, Texas. DeAndre Moore got past the one guy who slipped, C.J. Taylor, and took it down the boundary, 25 yards for the score.
Thank you very much, Craigway.
Longhorn Radio Network.
All right, we actually might have the first college football playoff prediction already out here, and we'll see where Texas is coming up here in just a moment.
It's a CFP Tuesday night.
They're unveiling, some rankings going on here. We got the show going on as we speak.
We got Tuesday night football on, boys. College football on.
Maction,
right?
I love Maction.
No, not Maction.
What is it?
Texas Mountain West.
Texas State and Louisiana playing against each other. Is that the Fun Belt?
Bobcats are doing it?
Sun Belt?
It's the Fun Belt.
All right, let's go. Bobcat.
They got
football.
Some good soccer there in the belt.
They do. Yep. Let's go to Kansas City. It's one of our favorites, Chiefs Radio Network. Do they do the cool little sounder thing? It's Mahomes. It's Kelce.
Goal to go, third down and 5 for the Chiefs. Trailing 10-7, Mahomes races the right leg. Pass caught, Nielsen! Touchdown! Kansas City on a quick slant. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce for the 52nd time. That is third in National Football League history.
That's pretty damn amazing.
I didn't hear it, though. I didn't hear the sushi.
They don't do it every time.
It's a blue moon. Like last week, we got spoiled last week, man. Yeah. That's not the expectation.
Wow.
They don't. We haven't figured out exactly what their rhyme or reason is. We're thinking maybe it's when Mahomes runs in a touchdown.
Oh, that's our guess.
But that's a flimsy guess at this point.
It's very flimsy.
But every once in a while, they throw in some type of Transformer Marvel sound.
Explosion.
And it's awesome. It adds a great element to the game. I'm here for adding drops into broadcasts.
I think we should start having Peyton do them.
Play-by-play broadcasts.
The Cowboy games.
Yeah, definitely. Like Hagee asking Stephen Jones a D's Nuts question, maybe, in between series or whatever.
So all of a sudden, you get an interception from Diggs, D's Nuts.
All right. speaking of D's Nuts moments. You had a Tyreek Stevenson brain fart. This is Washington. This is the Commanders after I had counted him out for the count.
You did.
On the Cowboys pregame show. Yeah. I mean, the Bears score with 25 seconds left. There's no way Jaden Daniels can do it. Great call here from the Commanders Radio Network.
Foreman at the goal line. They bring three. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side.
steps away from the defenders, gives himself some time, now steps up, fires, heads towards the end zone. It is
That is awesome.
You would have thought the Foles went to the Super Bowl.
Dude.
That is so awesome.
Amazing.
I mean, awesome, they haven't had this much fun in I don't know how long. This is crazy what's going on with the Commandos.
Pop-up year.
It is. It is. All right, Commanders Radio Network with the Colts. Go to, shall we? The Dallas Cowboys. You thought the comeback was happening because CD for the TD.
3:40 left. Prescott back. Looking. Throwing deep middle. There's a man. Lamb again. Touchdown.
Thanks, Brad.
Awesome, awesome stuff there from Brad Sham and the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they were doing it a little bit better on the other sideline.
Brock in the gun. They have Conley out wide right, three or left. Brock looking right, going to throw wide open. George Kittle, a flag is down.
Pushed into
him. No foul.
Touchdown! George Kittle!
Even the announcer on their broadcast pushed him.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell?
Yeah.
It looks like our relationship with the voice of the Niners, Greg Papa, has ended forever.
I asked actually why he wasn't on. I was waiting, and I was told he got a little bit diva-ish.
Yeah, he did.
Well, all the guys and gals that have come on throughout our history of this have been super nice about it.
Incredible. Yeah. But, I mean,
Yeah.
I don't know why he hates Broda so much.
He does. He does hate me.
And you did say something pretty rude to him the last time.
I think it has to do with that injury thing. I really do.
Oh, do you?
I think so.
Was that?
I think they remember that.
Respect the game, Broadus.
I need to respect the game more. I apologize. I apologize. I really did.
You did.
I apologized to his mom.
And you meant it when you said it.
She called me a male organ.
She'll give you a D word.
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah.
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 Well, I guess there's only one thing to do in a situation like this.
I think that's why
Pop is
not coming on. I really do.
Yeah, well, it's all right. I thought you guys were better off without him, honestly. Matt Barrows did a fantastic job.
Matt Barrows is good. Yeah.
He's really good.
Why hear from Matt Barrows once in a week when you can hear from him twice in a week?
Screw
you, Greg.
Mm-hmm. All right, you know what time it is.
Let's do it.
It's Pony Up time.
Fourth and goal at the 1-I formation. Breshard Smith is the tailback, and the fullback is Stone Eby. They pitch it out left. Breshard trying to make the edge. Can't. Cuts inside. Runs through a man. Touchdown. Tough touchdown for Breshard Smith.
Great job.
Pony up. I love college football. I love TDs, and I look forward to hearing the TDs live from Penn State versus Ohio State right here on The Fan this Saturday.
Right,
boys and girls. It's going to be a big'un. Yeah. All right, speaking of a big'un, let's go ahead and crosstalk with The Fan After Dark next year on The Fan.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Tomorrow, what a burger. We're going to be partying. Last chance to come out and get your G-Bag Nation flag. Of course, we're going to crosstalk here with Fred, with the three-time Hall of Famer, Chris Arnold. Segment brought to you by the Frankels and Cars for Kids. Which is the Whataburger location we're at, my friend?
We are in Grand Prairie tomorrow, Wolchuk, 2630 South State Highway 161. It's right there in front of that Walmart Super Center. And we'll be wheeling and dealing flags all day, baby.
Hell yeah.
Oh, man, I had a build in Grand Prairie. I was going to swing by and holler at you guys, and I realized you weren't there.
You weren't there today.
You weren't there today. You'll be there tomorrow,
we'll
though.
We'll be there tomorrow.
You'll be there tomorrow. Two to seven.
Stuff. Yo, 2 to 7. The epic waters and everything.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Come on by. Whataburger tomorrow.
Flagtober.
Mm-hmm. How many boxes of flags you guys bring in this time?
Oh,
all the boxes.
All the boxes. All the boxes that are left. I don't know how many are. I know these flags have been flying off the table every time we're doing a remote here. So hopefully we got
get there early.
You better get there early.
Get there early because we ran out like.
And nothing grinds my gears more than running out of the G-bag flags during Flagtober.
Stop being popular.
I'm like, guys, come on. How are we running out of flags? You're right. It's high demand.
It's high demand. But get there early. That's a suggestion make. Yeah.
Well, that's what it is, right? I mean, the less you have, I think I learned this in economics, elasticity for these flags, what it is.
Supply and demand.
Right? Well, I know the word. That's like one of the few words I learned in economics back in the day. Elasticity.
Elastigirl.
Right?
That's what it made me think of, too.
The Incredibles.
I've seen quite a few of those Halloween costumes running around.
Never seen it. But I know that, you know, the fewer flags, or if we say, you know, wink, wink, we don't have flags, get them while they're hot. People want what they can't have.
People want what they can't have.
Supply and demand. That's what it's all about.
Damn right. What are you thinking about these Dallas Mavericks right now as they're taking on the T-Wolves? CA, they're up 18-17, under 6 minutes to go, but this team's looking fun. I mean, Phoenix was a little bit of a bummer, but certainly bounced back in a big way last
night. This is back to the scene of the crime. This is where the Mavericks won the Western Conference Championship in Minnesota. I had a chance to go up there while all the celebration was going on. There's a little bit of difference, though. There's no Cat. Cat's in New York with Brunson. Yeah. Instead, Dallas's own Julius Randle is playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think it's going to be a better fit. And you got DiVincenzo coming off the bench. It's going to be a tough matchup. Ant wants revenge, but we got Klay Thompson. Klay has started out on fire. Anybody that was wondering if he was washed, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I mean, his three ball is ridiculous. He's getting incredibly open looks. The best shot quality of his career, basically.
Yeah, and the difference between him and a lot of guys who can shoot threes, he's such a high IQ veteran. In other words, he's been through the playoffs. He's got four rings. He's not going to make stupid decisions. Mm-hmm. In other words, he's not going to say, who do I need to get the ball to? And mess up a play. He will move that ball around quickly, and when he's open, money.
Yeah, and he's in the no bleep stage of his career. Did you see him just knuckle deep in his nose last night on the bench?
Mm-hmm. Get out of here.
Oh, man, it was deep.
He was in there for a while.
He was digging.
I saw a guy, and I'm not going to say what floor he was on, fifth, the other day, and just...
Glad you didn't say it.
Just, you know, in between. I guess he was on a break and just all up in his business.
But he was still going to work.
He was just twisting them knobs.
He was on a mission.
He was! I said, man, get a Kleenex. Get one of these.
That's what I say. Get a beach towel.
No. Don't go full Mangino. No. We don't want to do that.
Did you do any research? Any due diligence today on that?
So ask Golic.
We asked Gojo about it. It was a great question from Walchuk. And Gojo had the same blind spot as me.
Didn't know.
And he's a football lifer. And
I was shocked.
I was shocked, too.
But it was kind of fun because now we got to tell the story.
The internet, clearly Mangino has done some internet scrubbing of this because it's tough to, you can't just Google Mangino booty towel like I thought you could and get an endless amount of links and opportunities. But this is like, you're going to have to really go dig into that rabbit hole. That's not a hole I want to go digging too far into.
No, that's a good.
I needed that to be the first thing to pop up.
Right. I'm amazed there's not like a subreddit on the Mangino.
There's message boards. Almost everything I'm clicking on is message boards.
That's probably a good way to find it. Yeah.
Ciphering
Reddit. Get on Reddit.
Get on Bobby Belt on it. Bobby, if you're listening.
Bobby's got the connection.
Bobby, go investigative journalist. You know, put that hat on and go get after this thing. I think he could uncover some stuff for us that...
pre-social media.
It might be too much information.
You got to remember, though, pre-social media. And who was talking about KU football in the 2000s outside of KU?
Yeah.
Just Fred.
Ain't no telling what he's got.
They won a lot of games with him, buddy.
Ironically enough, 49-48 career record.
Really? 49-48?
Yeah, something like that. It's not more than that, okay, Glenn Mason, for that stretch.
Yeah. But who was before Glenn Mason?
At that program, it might as well be undefeated.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Oh, well, Mike Godfrey was there for a hot minute.
He was at Pittsburgh, right? For Mike Godfrey, man, ESPN, Pittsburgh.
Don't give me the line.
What's coming up on the show, boys?
Great question. You guys like the ponies?
Yeah.
You strike me as somebody who likes the ponies.
Oh, no, I love. Yeah, SMU is one of my favorite teams.
Oh, SMU.
Big pony guys.
I'm talking about the real
Eddie
Arcaro? Yeah, what's that? No, Eddie gentlemen. Breeders' Cups this weekend. Okay, get your minds right.
Where are we racing? Santa Anita?
The ponies! Where are we racing?
No. Delmar.
Delmar
for only the third time ever.
Wow, yeah. Delmar is beautiful.
Yes.
So,
beautiful. Just north of San Diego.
$13 million worth of races going down this weekend. Yeah. Donna Brothers.
If you win some money, you can afford a lot of those biggie boxes. From that's Wendy's.
Right. Dude, you can't.
That's what Fred's going right
at. If not, you can still eat the Biggie Box.
How many visits are we going to Wendy's like
a week? We could do a super size me of Fred and Wendy's. Because he eats it every meal.
Dude.
And that's the beauty of Wendy's.
He's like
they got the breakfast.
Dude, man. He's like a hard-working guy.
I know.
He's trying to maintain that Joe Rogan body.
I gotta stop.
Fred, this is what we need to do. We did a G-bag pact. We're going about 3 to 4 weeks. We're going to see who can lose the most weight.
I heard you guys talking about that.
Are you in?
You do the opposite. You do the Wendy's pact, and we see how much weight you gain.
Look, I'm at 231 right now. Okay.
Oh, cry me a river.
Where is that for you? Is that...
So is that it's where it's about where it's at.
It's about where it's
it's
at.
It's about where it's at. I don't mind being. I can live being 230, but I don't like where the 230's at right now. Is all I'm saying.
Oh, the placement of everything.
The placement of it, and it's because I'm eating late and shouldn't eat.
That'll do it.
But yeah, you guys did nighttime shows.
Oh, trust me. I got up to near three bills.
You know,
he was flossing his ass, Mangino style.
All I was close.
It was only for about 2 months.
Those Ranger 1 a.m. post games, he's like, you're going to stop and get food, aren't you? Yeah, probably. You know, and Taco Bell's not good.
Before our last break and the nighttime, Wolchuk would put in the call for the pad thai. The classic 10:45 pad thai call.
I did have a good run with the pad thai and the thai fried rice.
Were you married yet?
No.
Okay. All right. So you get
living in the basement.
You get it.
I was at mom and dad's house that time.
No, it's rough. It's rough because, like you said, I mean, look, what is it? Denny's, Whataburger, Wendy's.
Yeah.
And Applebee's in the Louisville off 3040. So whatever that's worth.
Do they know you like walking to Applebee's and they're like, Chili's,
Chili's open.
It's Club Applebee's.
I'm not doing it because I've made late night affiliations once upon a time and it didn't end well, so I'm not doing that again. Yeah. I am not doing that again.
Like if I'm going to eat late night, the Waffle House to me.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
Give me the Waffle House.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, boys.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you very much.
No, we appreciate you.
Yeah.
Keep the Wendy's going, Fred. Well, keep it going. That's Fred Davis, dude. Chris Arnold.
Love what you're doing with the Nuggets.
It's gonna be fun. Fan After Dark coming up next. Thank you very much to Gavin Dawson, Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo, Lucius Alexander, kicking ass, taking names as always, Carter Freeman. I'm Zach Wolchuk. Until tomorrow at 2, hugs and hand pounds, everybody.
And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!